Well, thank you, Sue, for that. It's fantastic to hear these stories, isn't it? I'm going to refer to that in a moment or two. But I've just this week, obviously, we've been celebrating VE Day. Significant days like that stick in our memory, don't they? Obviously, I'm not old enough to remember that. But we hear people tell stories of those events. We hear people tell stories of where they were when JFK was shot, or the stories of the storm of 1987. That's for the older ones of us. My girls will remember the day when they saw Tilly Ramsey in the services toilets at Fleet. If you don't know who Tilly Ramsey is, daughter of Gordon Ramsey, and my girl saw her there and came out of the toilets very excited. I'm sure there are days that we remember. There are days that stick in our minds for one reason or another. And they're defining moments sometimes in our lives. That VE Day was a day that changed everything. That before that, the people were in, particularly in London, but other places, in fear of being bombed. After that, no more fear. It was a defining moment. Things were different before than they were afterwards. And I was remembering as I was thinking about this. Sarah's just gone out of the room. The day that Sarah and I got engaged, and it was a significant day, and nothing was the same before and nothing was the same after. And there were some stories I could tell you about that day, particularly Marmite sandwiches and Pooh Bridge and Japanese tourists. But I can't tell you that now. There is no time. But those days are the days that change our lives. And as I was reading my Bible earlier this week, and last week I was listening to a friend of mine preaching on a video, and he was preaching from these verses in Isaiah. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 6. And this is a significant day, a life-changing moment in the life of Isaiah. It says this: "It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, 'It's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' And I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' He said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Yes, go and say to this people.'" And then there's a message that God gives Isaiah for the people. And this was a moment of life change for Isaiah. This is the pivotal moment of his life. In a sense, the calling he had from that before, I don't know what he did before, but from that moment on, he was a preacher and a prophet. From that moment on, he spoke the word of God to the people that he saw and the people around him day by day. And so this was a pivotal moment in his life. Nothing was the same after as it was before. And as a result of that moment where he meets with God, his life, he responds to God. When God says, "Who shall I send?" he says, "Send me." And this is the thing, when we meet God, when we encounter the King of Kings, our response changes us, and we become the perspective of our life changes, and what we thought important before, we don't think important or as important anymore. When we were focused on before becomes less focused, and we focus on what God wants us to do afterwards. I was hearing somebody speaking in the week on a video, and they quoted C.T. Studd, who it was more than 100 years ago. In fact, He was in the England cricket team that lost that initial Ashes match to the Australian team. And he was one of the final batsmen, not the one that was out at the end, that lost England the Ashes, or the first Ashes match. And later, he gave up all that he had. He stopped being a cricketer to become a missionary. And he said this: "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." His life was changed the moment he met Jesus. And what was important before, being an England cricketer and also, I think, an England rugby player, certainly close to rugby, suddenly he dropped it all to go and be a missionary, first in China and later India and finally in Africa. And he went all over the world preaching Jesus because he met Jesus. And there was a moment where his life was changed. We read in the Bible similar stories. Jesus came and started to call disciples. And Andrew went to find his brother and he said, "Come and meet the Messiah." And in the same chapter, in John chapter 1, Philip goes to Nathanael and says, "Come and meet the Messiah." They had found Jesus and they wanted to tell others. And so Andrew went to Peter. He says, "Come and see this man." Philip went to Nathanael, "Come and see this man," because their lives were changed. And together, the four of them and a bunch of others followed Jesus from there on. Stopped being fishermen, stopped doing the jobs that they were doing, and then their lives were changed from that moment on. And as Sue spoke in that interview video just now, she spoke of the moment where she felt of a revelation, where she knew a revelation of God's love for her, and that changed everything. She was in a place of difficulty, in a place where things were not going so well. But the moment that she met Jesus, that Jesus revealed to her his love, everything changes. And I myself had a similar experience. I had grown up in church. I had always followed Jesus. I was one of the leaders, young leaders in my church, leading youth, leading worship in my church, all sorts of things. And I went away to a year out scheme, and I was praying one day in a room in a church in Scunthorpe, and I just had such a revelation of God that my life was changed from that moment on. Nothing was the same after as it was before. And that was in particular to do with my own insecurity. And from that moment on, I just knew God loves me so much that I'm no longer, you know, insecure and wondering what other people think of me, because I just trust him for what he thinks of me. And that moment changed my life. And the moment that we meet Jesus changes our lives. And so this morning, my message for all of us is we need to meet Jesus. There are many people who are like me, knew all about Jesus. They were born again, they were worshippers, but there are areas in our lives that we need a revelation. For me, it was that God loves me and that I could trust him and that I didn't have to try to impress other people. Whatever area is in your life that is holding you back, that is binding you, you can be free from that when you get a revelation of Jesus. All else fades into significance when we meet Jesus, only Jesus. Maybe like Sue, maybe like me, you need something to change. If you've never had an encounter with Jesus, you need to meet Jesus. And my message to you this morning is like Peter and Andrew, come and meet the Messiah. Years ago, I spoke to a man who, we were knocking on doors in Leeds, of all things, and this guy answered the door, and we preached the gospel to him, me and a friend, and he said, "I understand all that. I understand that Jesus died for my sins, and I need to ask him to forgive me." And he said, "But why do I need that?" Because he couldn't see the need. He understood the theology of it, as it were, but he didn't understand why. And the only answer I could give to him that day, and still the same answer, is this: we need to ask him to show himself to us. Ask him to bring us a revelation. Just really to conclude what I'm saying this morning, You know, I imagine Uzziah's grandchildren one day, probably repeatedly, coming and saying, "Grandpa, tell us the story, tell us the story." And it always starts the same way. "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." When we see the Lord, it changes everything. And my prayer today for us, for all of us, and for you is that our testimony will be, "In the year of the COVID lockdown, I saw the Lord. When I was stuck indoors, when I couldn't do anything, I encountered Jesus." If you don't know where to turn at the moment, turn to Jesus. If you're in panic, in fear, trust him to bring peace. If your life is focused on the things of this world, you need to get a glimpse of heaven. You need to see Jesus so that you're set free from the bondage of this world. I can confidently say that to meet Jesus will change your life for the better. Why should you meet him? Well, you won't know what it means until you do. And my prayer is that, like me, you will get a revelation of Jesus. That whatever it is in your life that you need, Jesus will show himself to you. And like Andrew and Philip this morning, I want to urge you, come and meet Jesus. In a moment, we're going to sing a song, but I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray that God would show himself to us. That as we just still ourselves before him, that he would bring a revelation to our heart. Father, we thank you that you change us when we meet you. Father, that encountering you makes the things afterwards different than the things before. And Father, I pray this morning that together we would get a revelation of you. Father, that you would reveal yourselves to us as individuals, but also as a whole. That we would see you as Uzziah saw you, and it would change our lives. Father, I pray you'd help us bring revelation in the name of Jesus. We're going to sing together, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me."